Father, we do make that our prayer this morning. Lord, that you would give us a pure and holy passion to follow after you, Lord, that you would lead us, that we would know you. And Lord, that's our greatest desire. And Lord, that we would hold nothing back in that pursuit, in that passion, Lord. Father, this morning as we think about the sin of laziness and the struggles that we have sometimes with it, Lord, we ask that you'd help us to overcome that, that you would teach us how to work hard. And Lord, that we would work hard not only in our jobs, which is important, but that we would work hard in our faith, in pursuing you and in living what we believe. Father, we thank you for the high calling that you've given us, Lord. And that's a calling of knowing you. That's the calling of being your disciples. That's the calling of telling the world about the hope that is displayed in your truth, Lord. The hope that is given through your Son, Jesus Christ. The hope that we have already been blessed greatly with, to have the forgiveness of sins. And Lord, to be new creation in you, as we've trusted in you and our sins have been washed away and we bear the righteousness of Christ. Lord, we are not worthy, we are undeserving, and yet you desire to do that and you desire to use us for the great mission that you've commissioned us to. Lord, help us to overcome our laziness, to work hard, and to do it all for your glory. Help us as we dig into your word this morning to be challenged by it and encouraged by it. And Lord, to take action because of it as we step out of this room this morning to follow after you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been working on a series, Christ and Your Problems. We've come to laziness this morning and we'll be picking that apart. First, I want to show a short clip I was thinking of as I was studying this out. If you've never seen The Pacifier before, we've got a Navy SEAL who comes and his mission is to protect 5 kids. So he's essentially acting as their caregiver and he's going to watch over them. And this is him establishing the house on his first morning with them. I'll make sure we have volume first. Christ and Your Problems, and we'll be looking at Christ and Your Laziness this morning, and I've now gained insight onto how to lead my house, except for I've got the reverse problem. I don't know how to keep them in bed long enough. Your burning daylight, that quote keeps sticking in my head, that, okay, sun's up, time to get going. And trying to make the most, and of course, we're going to have to tackle the balance this morning as we're talking about it, because we can overwork ourselves, we can be too busy, and so we're not going to cover that fully because we're going to be focused on the extent of laziness, but there is the overly busy, that's the flip side of this sin, that is going to kind of fit in a different perspective as we look at this morning. And grab my notes here. Thank you. So as we're looking at this morning, trying to gain some insight into how we can overcome our laziness, we'll be able to see that God's Word has some truths that can help us. Because when we look at our sin and it's not our fault, then that kind of is a hopeless situation where there's nothing I can do about it except for complain about it and continue in it. But God's Word gives us hope because my sin is my own. I take responsibility for it. But then there's truth in God's Word that can help me, as we've kind of been thinking about with our new memory verse, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's the teaching. It teaches me how to get to be right, to stay right, to get on the right path. And so we're going to look for those answers in God's word this morning so that we can be complete, mature, perfect is that word in our memory verse, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And it's going to have answers for us on how we can tackle our laziness. As we're looking at that, then I want us to see we must work hard for the glory of God. We must work hard for the glory of God. And we're going to pick apart scripture this morning, see how we're going to go about doing that. And thankfully, we've got truth to apply. We've got hope in overcoming our sinful and stubborn habits. Let's go ahead and start with looking at the behavior then. And what are we talking about when we talk about laziness? First of all, I want us to put off idleness. Idleness is just another word for laziness. It's when you've got something to do and you're not doing it. Idle, simply sitting around, not busy. So we need to put off idleness and put on diligence. And that'll be our basic, probably the broadest scope of what we're looking at this morning. That we put off not doing what we're supposed to be doing and put on a persistence in doing what we are to be doing. And a focus on doing so. We'd also need to put off procrastination and put on planning. And I should say, along with that, the implementation of it, because I can plan and still procrastinate. Put off being a busybody. And that's going to be in one of our passages this morning. Let's see if I can pull that up. We'll come across it in a little bit. The word busybody literally it means around and working. So you look like you're working, but you're just working kind of around what you're supposed to be doing. In a sense, it's also carries the implication you're all up in everybody else's business. You're everywhere but what you're supposed to be doing, whether you're in somebody else's business or you're just keeping yourself busy but not really doing anything. Don't tell my wife, but sometimes when I'm supposed to be cleaning the kitchen, I might go over here and look busy while she gets things done. But just so you get the picture of a busybody, as the word used in Scripture, that you're looking busy, but you're not really accomplishing what you're supposed to. And instead, put on prioritizing. That you'd put off idle chatter is in one of our passages this morning. And this is going to be a slightly different than what we've talked about when we looked at idle speech as a whole and talked about using our words properly. This is going to go a little deeper. I think we're in Proverbs 14:23 is where I pulled that from. Proverbs 14:23 says, "In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty." And what I'm trying to contrast there between idle chatter is taking action is that we can talk all the time about what we're supposed to be doing. And this kind of seeps into our churches now, that we come, we talk about loving other people, we talk about sharing the gospel, we talk about living the truth. Now, go out that door and do it. And sometimes we forget to put it into action. We can do idle chatter talking about good things, but it means nothing if we don't take action. So it's good to talk about it, but then do it so that it's not empty. And put off apathy, that I don't really care about this. I don't feel like doing something, and put on a commitment. You know, whether my feelings say I want to do this or not, I'm going to endeavor to do what I'm supposed to do, regardless of how I feel. And so that's kind of the scope of what we're looking at with laziness. And gosh, I wish it was just that easy that I could say, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stop doing these things. I'm going to start doing these things. And tomorrow I'm going to be a new person. And I might be able to do that for a while. Okay, I'm going to work hard. I can fall also into the trap of the flip side of this where I'm busy. And that's where I think I want to underscore this idea of being a busybody is what we do with our busyness. We get busy, not just trying to look busy like I joked about doing in the kitchen so that somebody else will get the stuff done. But we get busy and we think we're doing good because I do a lot of things. But is it just me being a busybody that I'm working, but not accomplishing what's the highest priority? Because we can easily do that. So that's the flip side of busyness. But I can try and start doing. Okay, I'm gonna plan. I'm gonna prioritize. I'm gonna be taking action and committed. But sometimes when I try to do that behavior modification, right, it only works for a while because what's going on inside of me is still going on inside of me, and it's like putting the tea bag in the hot water. What's in it's gonna come out. So just because I change the water doesn't mean something different's gonna happen. I need to change the contents. I need to work on my heart. And so we're going to look at the heart this morning, move into what's really behind that. Colossians 3:23 mentions that, says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Now that verse has two do's there, and they're actually different words in the Greek. The second do is work. Whatever you do, work it from your soul is that word. Work it from your soul. Do it with your whole self, with your whole heart, as to the Lord. It's not for the people watching me. It's not to look good to everyone around me. But I'm going to work with my whole heart, put my all into it, because God's the one watching me, and it's before Him, not before the people who I see and I want to hold myself initially accountable to. Because then I can look busy when they're around. I can slough off when they're not around. And as long as I look good, and that's the behavior modification, if I just nail those apples up, the new fruit, and don't deal with the roots, it doesn't change the heart of the problem. But it says, whatever we do, do it from your whole heart before God and not before men. So we have to ask the questions then that help us move to the motivation behind it. Why? Why am I struggling? Why am I procrastinating? Why am I wasting time? Why am I being lazy? Why am I doing that? And what gives me the right to be lazy? What kind of things am I justifying my laziness with? Why is it okay for me to be lazy? What gives me that right? And we can, it's easy, right? I deserve a break. I deserve to be able to, one of the things we can do to take our rights and to justify is compare to somebody else. Well, that person doesn't have to work nearly as hard as I do. I've done my share, right? I've already helped out in that way, or I've already worked so many hours, or, it's my turn to take a break. And what gives me that right? Is it, am I comparing? Am I looking at myself and what I deserve? Am I saying that I can't accomplish much? Well, what are some of the roots of laziness? Here's some of them. Fatigue. That's an easy one. I'm tired. I want to take a break. Depression. I think we have to take a step back and ask, what is going on? Why am I being lazy? Sometimes the root of that is something else I need to tackle. Maybe it's something that I'm struggling emotionally and I need to. And we're going to work on that next week when we're looking at Christ in your despair. Is okay, let's get to the heart of that matter. But that might be a root of laziness. I'm depressed and therefore I'm really struggling to motivate myself to do what I'm supposed to do. Another one, fear, especially of failure. We can get so paralyzed by that fear of failure that I'm not even going to act anymore because I feel safer if I don't do anything than if I do something and I might fail. And it sounds a little silly, but I'd rather do nothing than accomplish something, but it wasn't good enough. And we can get caught up in that. Lack of commitment can be a root of laziness. Well, what's in it for me? Doesn't matter to me. I don't have a motivation behind it, or I just don't have that passion or drive. I'm not committed to it. And then again, we have to look at desires, and some of the desires we might have include, I just want to rest. I want to take my break. I want my comfort, or I'd like it to be easy, and that's going to be hard. So I'm going to choose an easier path. Or I want to relax and be entertained. I want more time for my TV, for my outings, to do whatever my hobbies are. And but I've done a lot of this hard work stuff, and I deserve entertainment. And these might be some of the roots. I'm not saying these make it okay, and I'm not saying all these are bad. But these might be some things that we have to wrestle with at the core of what's going on in my heart that I'm saying this is why it's okay for me to be lazy, or this is what I need to tackle because this is kind of the heart, the root of my laziness. And if I want to change the laziness, I need to ask, why am I lazy? And then I need to deal with that. We've looked at the heart in Ephesians 4, that we need to put off the old man, be renewed in the mind, and put on the new man. So we have to get to the heart of the issue, we have to get to the root, and we have to look at our identity. So we're going to ask the questions, then, that we've been asking. What is my view of God? Because if I'm trying to put off the old man and put on the new man, I have to understand what is my identity. And my identity involves who is God and who am I? And if my view, what is my view of God? And I should be living it. Do I really believe He is Lord? Do I really believe that? Colossians 3, verse 24 here. And Colossians 3 is a good passage. It's wives, husbands, children, fathers. And then it gets into bond servants and masters. And verse 24 tells us, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So you're serving a master. If you're working in the workplace, you serve a master. You're working under somebody, but he's not your ultimate master. Jesus is Lord. God is Lord. And I'm serving him ultimately. Do I really believe that? Do I really believe that God designed work? Some people say it's the result of the fall. But the work goes back to a stewardship that God gave man before the fall. That God gave Adam the garden to tend. Genesis 2:15 says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. God gave Adam a responsibility, a stewardship. And that was a blessing from God. The ability to work and the privilege of doing that. That's God's design for man. Do I really believe that? Do I believe that God gives me strength? When I'm feeling tired, when I'm feeling weary, do I believe that God gives me the strength to do what He asked me to do? Do I believe God's worthy of my life, that I would live it for Him and do what He's called me to do? And am I pursuing God in a way that demonstrates these beliefs? Am I living that out, that I'm moving that from concept into action, that I believe these things, so therefore I'm going to do it? What is my view of myself? Do I believe God has a purpose for my life? I think that's an important question for us to reflect on. Do I believe God has a purpose for my life? Or am I just kind of here taking up space and I can just, as long as I'm content and happy, relaxing, being entertained? Well, if I've got a purpose for my life, I've got a drive, a passion to pursue that, and I should give it my all in doing that. Am I convinced that maybe I'm too foolish or too weak, I'm not good enough to do the job that God has for me? Because 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. God uses us, even when we are foolish and weak, to show His power. You can go to 2 Corinthians 4:7 as well, that we have this treasure in us to show that the excellence of the power is of God and not of ourselves, because we're jars of clay. We're broken earthen vessels because we don't want to show that it's us. It's about God anyways. Do I think entertainment will somehow fulfill me? If I just watch a little more TV, or if I just enjoy my hobbies a little more, that somehow I'll get the joy and satisfaction I want? Am I living in a way that demonstrates my beliefs? Am I moving it past concept and into action? That gets us right to the heart of the issue then. Let's talk about our transformation then. How do we... I've got a couple quotes here to help us think about that. John Trent, in Transforming Your Workplace for Christ, this kind of applies more so to the workplace. He says, the answer isn't for you to ditch your workplace and join a monastery. It's to stay where you are and begin to capture your workplace, any workplace, for Christ. Imagine getting up in the morning, not dreading, but dedicated to going to work for a purpose. His purpose for you and your workplace. You may never change the entire corporate culture where you work, but you can change lives, your own and many others as well. We have Hebrews 11:6 that tells us, but faith, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so I'm going to make application, especially I think hard work in the workplace and in our homes is important. I also want to make application to our hard work in how we live out our beliefs and how we pursue God. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So that's kind of the contrast to laziness and idleness when you put on diligence. And we've got it right here, to diligently seek God. Here's what Matt Chandler has to say. He says, in fact, here, a shattered paradigm warning here. The reality of life is that God intends us to be a little tired. Few things are more dangerous and disappointing than a bored man with too much time and energy on his hands. Now, isn't that true? He says, read the Proverbs. See what comes from hard work and compare it with what comes from taking your chances and hoping for a lucky break. Get the message. It's nothing you want. Then he goes on to say, what did Vince Lombardi say in that famous speech? I firmly believe that any man's finest hour, his greatest fulfillment to all he holds dear, is that moment when he has worked his heart out in a good cause and lies exhausted on the field of battle, victorious. And that's in the book Recovering Redemption by Matt Chandler, thinking about the satisfaction knowing that you've worked your heart out, especially for the Lord. So there's an example there. But when I've busted myself and given my all and knowing that, okay, now I've seen God work in and through me and the joy that comes from that. Thinking about that then, Galatians 5 says, reminds us in verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We've been using that verse to lead us into the works of the flesh versus the fruits of the Spirit. And how's my attitude and demeanor when I get up to work? When I go to work, whether it's actually in the workplace, whether it's my how I work in my house, leading my family, whether it's how I work in my life, following after God, pursuing Him, because these are all areas where laziness can take over. And that's where we get to being busybodies. There's men who are the hardest workers out there, and yet when it comes to leading their family or taking care of their spiritual life, they are lazy. You wouldn't look at them and say, there's a lazy person. But the lack of priority shows a laziness in an area of their life. And when they're missing the most important area that they should be focusing on, there's a problem there. Am I characterized by my love, joy, peace, long-suffering? Long-suffering and working hard. My faithfulness in working hard. My self-control in saying, I'm going to discipline myself to do it, even though I don't feel like it, because our goal is holiness. Hebrews 12:14 again says, pursue holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Something to strive after, something to give myself for, holiness, to be more like Jesus, so that I can be a demonstration to others around me. Finally, let's close with, we're going to look at putting it into practice, take some practical steps in pursuing that. And the first is, again, to confess your laziness. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We've done that verse every week, and you can't get tired of it, because that's our hope. That's the hope that Jesus has a promise to us, that he will forgive us when we confess, that He will give us a clean slate to start with. And I can say, God, right now I've been characterized by laziness in my life, or I've been having these areas where I'm simply lazy in what I do. And God will forgive us when we confess to Him. Colossians 3:22 reminds us to do our job for the Lord. When we're in the workplace, it says, bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, not just looking good when they're watching, as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. I'll have these back up in a minute. Take time to rest in the Lord. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take time to rest in the Lord. Not just, and I'm not saying, don't you dare relax ever again. We need the time to rest, but we have to balance it. And there's discernment there. I also think that there's a really good way to rest, and that's coming to God. Just like the story of Martha and Mary. And Martha's like, why isn't Mary working? Tell her to get up and help. And Jesus says, well, she's chosen that necessary thing. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus listening to him while Martha serves. You can go to Luke 10, 38 through 42 if you want to look at that story. But the time to rest in the Lord, to come to enjoy him, to enjoy his truth, to sit at his feet and learn from him. Next, be strong in God's grace. Started off our passage with that. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I haven't actually hit on our passage much today. I was hoping to, but I'm already running out of time. But that starts off our passage, and we get the illustration of an athlete, a soldier, and a farmer as hard workers. And that's an illustration of us, how we should live our lives, both in the workplace, but also in our pursuit of our making disciples. 2 Timothy 2:2, our next verse. The things you've heard from me, from many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. There's a call there to make disciples, to pass it along. The things I've been entrusted with aren't just for me. Do the hard work in teaching others and sharing with others. And then we get the illustration of the soldier and athlete and farmer. Then we get the gospel there in verses 8 through 13. It says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And that's what he's suffering for. And he's in chains even for it. And he says, this is a faithful saying. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. But if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Awesome gospel there. He tells them to remind them of these things. Charge them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit. He says, be diligent. We get that call again. Be diligent. Work hard. For what? To present yourself approved to God. A worker who doesn't need to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. We're going to come to that in a second here, actually. First, equip yourself with God's word. Equip yourself with God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, our memory verse. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be complete, perfect, mature, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I have everything I have in God's word, and I'm going to equip myself to go and work, do the good work, not be lazy, but to demonstrate with my life that I've been transformed, that I'm doing these good works that God has equipped me for and that he's called me to, that he saved me for, because I'm his workmanship. I'm his workmanship to do the good works which he's prepared beforehand. Passionately serve God. Romans 12:11 says, don't be lagging in diligence, but be fervent in spirit serving the Lord. Not lagging in diligence, but fervent in spirit. That zeal that I'm going to have the passion to pursue. Passionately serve God. Finally, do the hard work of Bible study, prayer, and change. I've got a few verses for you. 2 Timothy 2:15, we said already, be diligent, present yourself, approved to God. Work who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So do the hard work of Bible study. Do the hard work of prayer. Romans 15:30. Strive together with me in prayers to God for me. That word is a word of work, to strive together. It's hard work praying. We can get lazy in our prayers. We can get lazy in reading and studying the Bible. We should do the hard work. And the hard work of change. Philippians 3:14. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to give my all to pursue him, to make my life about him. I'm going to do that hard work. Do the hard work of Bible study, prayer, and change. I'll get all those up here. If you need verses to fill in, come to me afterwards. I'll help you out with those. Confess your laziness. Do your job for the Lord. Take time to rest in the Lord. Be strong in God's grace. Equip yourself with God's word. Passionately serve God. Do the hard work of Bible study, prayer, and change. Earlier I asked you what the Bible says about good works. And there are several other passages that talk about the good work that we can do to demonstrate God's change in our life. And it is work. It is something that we have to take effort to do. It doesn't come naturally. We're new creations. We've been given new hearts. We're made new in Christ. But we have to work to live it out. And I'd encourage you to take up your own study and find out where the Bible talks about your good works. We can't be saved by them, but we are saved for them. and we're saved not to be lazy, but to work for God, to act it out, to live it out, and to share that victory with others, to come alongside and say, hey, I see you're kind of taking it easy there, but I love you, man, and I want to help you out. I want you to be able to come with me in the pursuit of God, the hard work, to enjoy what God's created you for, and you'll find a greater fulfillment than anything else. So I just wanted to put that out. We're kind of in a rush this morning, but hard work for the glory of God, that God gives us this life. We only have one life to live, and it's short, and it goes fast. And like our guy, the pacifier, the Navy SEAL said, you're burning daylight. You know, I don't need you necessarily to get up at right at the crack of dawn, but you're burning your life. You're wasting what God's given you. You've got this stewardship. You've got this one to live. Make the most of it. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that you are good. Thank you that you are patient and loving. Lord, we do thank you for your amazing holiness, that we get to gaze upon you. And your glory is in your holiness, Lord. Your glory is in how great you are, that you are set apart, that you are above and beyond. Your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, Lord. But you do call us to be holy as you are holy. And Lord, I think here's an area where we all need help. Not to be too busy, that we're busybodies, Lord, keeping ourselves busy but not accomplishing what we're supposed to. But Lord, to prioritize in a way that we would use our passions to pursue you and be used by you. Lord, we ask for your help and your discernment in this matter. Lord, we ask that you would empower us to live for you with all our hearts and to do our work as before you and not before men. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand for one verse of blessed assurance.